Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm in a glass case of emotion!
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Trying to get another shot on goal. Back to the point. Across ice it comes. Held in by Agostino. Back to Butcher. There's a shot. They score! Off the goal post into the net. And on the power play, New Jersey has assumed a 2-1 lead.
Howard played the right way. Doesn't make it any less frustrating, that's for sure. Now we need to respond tomorrow with the same effort.
We had opportunities. We had chances. We just didn't find the next goal. It's unfortunate they get that power play at the in the third there, and we got to continue to play this way. We're going to get results if we continue to tighten it up.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I'm not going to say it. I'm not saying anything.
Hey, of all the games he says that after, he's not wrong about that.
I know, but he said it after the 75th game of the season.
Yeah. They outshot the Devils 20 out Corsi out shot attempts 22-3 in the third.
Yeah. And they're, you know, the nightmarish second period, they only give up 5 shots in the second period. I know, they played well. Yes.
They did play well.
But
they played.
If we keep playing like that, we'll get the results we want. You don't say in the 75th game when you lost your 12th straight road game and have dropped 16 of 19 games. They've lost 16 of 19 games.
It was also game number 157 for Housley.
So, you know,
I'm going to start putting two seasons together here.
That's right. I'm not angry, but
no,
whatever.
Actually, I'm also whatever. Not angry. You ever have something happen where it goes so wrong? This is kind of like one of those movies where something keeps going wrong and you just laugh at the other person's misfortune and pain.
Hmm.
A lot of movies
that's nice.
Go like that. This is, whatever, I made the comparison. It's like being in an airport and you're just on an endless delay and mm-hmm. they keep coming up with reasons for you not to fly out. And at some point, you transition from being frustrated and mad to just laughing.
Yeah.
You know, well, ladies and gentlemen, we got a new pilot in, but it turns out he's sick. I'm like, oh.
Right. What else could go wrong?
Of course.
Right.
All right. We'll just hang out here a little bit longer. So, yeah, I think it's, I mean, whatever. There's 7 games left.
Yeah.
I'm looking at tankathon.com.
I did it yesterday during the show.
A loss to New Jersey.
My second drill through, I had the Sabres picking second overall.
Well, more important is that New Jersey is in striking distance now. Yeah. And maybe Detroit, if you lose to Detroit, you can make it happen. Detroit is only 5 back.
And Detroit won last night, you said?
Played,
and they
you played
Detroit twice?
Twice.
At least one, right, twice in the next 2
yeah.
weeks. Okay.
They could maybe get to the bottom 4, bottom 3.
Four? Okay.
They maybe could get to the bottom 3. I mean, if they lose out, it might take running the table in reverse. But they might be able to get to a top 3 spot. I can actually give it to you here. SportsClubStats.com does this with the lottery odds. So I'll see if I can find that for you because they've calculated them before. But likelihood of where they finish. Okay, here you go. Right now, they're most likely to finish 25th. But give me a record. What do you think they're going to finish in their final 7 games?
They're 6th worst right now. Okay. So, well, let's see. What are they? They got Ottawa, Detroit. They're going to lose to the Islanders in Columbus this weekend. And you got Ottawa and Detroit again next weekend.
Nashville.
Nashville's the other. Really? This
yeah.
time of year?
Nashville comes That's to weird. Buffalo, yeah.
I will say they will win 2 games.
2-3-2? 2-2-3? 2-1-4?
Give them 1 loser point. So 2-4-1.
Okay. 2-4-1. That means 76 points. And what that would add up to is more than likely 26th place. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 27th.
27th.
46% chance at 27th place.
So you basically the only teams you wouldn't beat out would be New Jersey, Detroit, Los Angeles, Ottawa. You'd end up
yeah.
with the 5th pick
yep.
going into the lottery.
If they run the table in reverse, let's give them 1 loser point. They get to
kind of, yeah.
They get to 72. You're looking at bottom 4.
Maybe fourth, 3, maybe 3
third.
Depending on what the Red Wings
yeah.
do.
Yeah. Well, actually, a 41% chance of 3rd from last
yeah.
and a 39% chance of 4th from last if you run the table in reverse. So, you know, I mean, what else would you root for? It's the only thing that they seem to do well.
I just, you know, last night is what we've been doing for a while now. I'm just watching individual players. Every time Nylander's on the ice, try and watch him.
Yep.
You know, I kind of forgot about watching Montour, but
he's good.
You know, get back to watching him, watching Dahlin. Well, you didn't watch Mittelstadt last night because he didn't play. So, you know, it's at Pilot. I mean, I watched a lot of time. I spent a lot of time watching Pilot last night. I thought he played well.
He was very good.
He looked confident. He looked, his decision making was good. His passing, he had a couple, some breakout passes. He joined the rush. Got some penalty killing time. So last night, like, number one for me was, hey, how does Pilot look? And mm-hmm. I was happy with how he played last night.
And he also helped improve Ristolainen's Corsi numbers a little bit.
Is Ristolainen for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins a real thing?
Boy, I hope so.
Or is that
so.
Just a made-up media
it's
story?
It's been one of these rumored trades that's been out there for, what, years?
A long time, right?
Because I guess what? You connect the dots and say that when Edmonton traded Taylor Hall, the report was it would have taken Ristolainen.
Right.
So they must like him because they were willing to take Ristolainen for Taylor Hall. Granted, it's not Peter Chiarelli anymore. But
could they bring him back just to make that trade?
Well, I mean, hey, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, okay. There's my second line center.
Yeah, right. And then Mittelstadt can be your third line center, and now you're deep at center, and you know, you'll survive defensively. You know, you've added Montour, you have Dahlin. Ristolainen doesn't have the place, I don't think, in the organizational depth chart he used to hold. And we'll see whatever else Botrel does in the offseason. So, yeah, I saw that yesterday, and I just thought, would Edmonton really do that, or is this just, you know, people in the media just throwing rumors together?
No,
and
I think that...
Would they really make... Okay, your game. Who says no? The Sabres don't say no.
I don't.
So it's got to be Edmonton.
I don't know if the Sabres say no. I'll believe that they'll trade Ristolainen once it happens. Hmm. Ristolainen did have a great game last night from a shot differential standpoint. Nylander did as well.
Good.
Hey, play with Eichel.
Yeah, well, it doesn't hurt.
That tends to work.
Right.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's probably the move that will definitely happen this offseason is the trade of Ristolainen.
I was reading a piece yesterday at ESPN.com, Greg Wyshynski and Chris Peters. I guess as teams get eliminated from the playoffs or look like they're not going to make the playoffs, they do a, okay, so what, you know, what's next type of thing. And one of the things Wyshynski noted was Botrel has got to make a home run move this offseason. And some things haven't worked out. The trade for Scandella hasn't really worked out that well. And the trade for O'Reilly bombed, really. And he brings up, you know, the home run move this offseason would be Ristolainen for a top six forward. In this case, if it's Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Deal.
Number two center for one of your – he's not even a top two defenseman anymore going forward. He's a 3-4.
And it's worth pointing out, you know, think about all the Edmonton players that got traded away. They all end up doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Eberle, Hall. I mean, you just count them off.
Mm-hmm.
They're all doing well wherever they go because Edmonton is – the mess, and that's
it's Buffalo West.
I mean, that's right. That's what the Sabres are. The Sabres are that mess. If not for Edmonton, maybe the Sabres would get more attention about being such a mess. And, you know, maybe if the playoff races weren't so tight right now, it seems like, well, the Sabres were the talk of the league for a hot minute when they won 10 in a row. And now everyone looks and says, well, yeah, we figured they weren't that good. The level of collapse continues to be, you know, just remarkable. Yeah, it's Edmonton. We're Edmonton East, and we are stuck in this. And what do you hope for? You hope you win more lotteries? I mean, that's not turned Edmonton around yet, but I'm sure they're not regretful of having won the McDavid lottery.
A top two pick would be nice, right? Brayton. Because we're talking either Hughes or what's the other?
Capo Caco.
Yeah,
let me find
that
the elite
guy.
Prospects pronunciation of it.
Capo Caco. Yeah.
That guy, I'm going to botch that name 30,000 times.
Who's the third guy? Because there are three lottery wins. So who's the third guy? I saw somebody named Cole Caulfield yesterday. Craig Button was talking about him as the best scorer in the draft, okay. Maybe.
Yeah, he's got some really good hands. Okay. He's a little smaller, but
Deal.
He can still score.
Give me one of those guys. Mm. Give me the, hey, he's a little too small, Braden Point,
score.
Johnny
Mitch
Gaudreau,
Marner.
Mitch Marner. Yeah!
Yeah,
the,
right?
The Patrick Kane, the freak wizard with the puck that's a little too small.
Right.
If the Sabres end up sticking at 7 or 8, I'll take that guy all day.
All right, I got Capo Caco here.
Capo Caco.
Capo Caco.
Oh, my goodness. Capo Caco.
Capo Caco.
Capo Caco. All right. So, that. So yeah, give me a top two pick.
Who is the third one, though? It's not Cole Caulfield. It's
no. There's
who's the name?
There's kind of a bevy of players that could go there. One player is Dylan Cousins. Another player is Vasily Podkolzin.
Ooh. All right.
You know, I like that Podkolzin guy. I've been following his career for quite some time now.
Let's get some names.
He was
here.
Spectacular at the World Juniors and at the Ivan Hlinka tournament this past year. Like, just he has flashes of just like the pure Russian playmakers like Malkin and
well, the lottery, those guys. By the way, see, we this is how your mind works on this show and how you think about things to bring up. The lottery is 2 weeks from tonight. So I have to get an NHL draft guy on because I haven't studied the NHL draft at all. 2 weeks from tonight, we get to see where the Sabres are going to pick.
The second-ranked North American skater is a center named Kirby. Kirby Doc?
Kirby Doc, yes.
Kirby Doc.
Okay.
We can use a Kirby on this team.
The Doc is in.
Yeah. Ooh.
The Doc made a house call.
I love it.
Something about Doc.
What's up, Doc? This is what our season
How
has been.
How did I miss What's Up, Doc? I'm a Looney Tunes guy.
Kirby yes. Doc. He's 6'4".
Okay,
playing
good
on
size.
Saskatoon. Right.
This
so.
Is where we're at in our lives.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What's Bottrell doing in the offseason and how where are you picking in the lottery?
Do you want to know what else I did this morning? On when I woke up and I looked at the standings, I thought back to previous tanks and the good times we all had. I thought about raising Arizona and inspiring Edmonton, and I thought, all right, what are we going to do? We'll raise the Devils. What do we do for the Red Wings? Fly, Wings, Fly? I was trying to think of like the
Very
gimmicky
sure.
the things we could do. Ottawa? Well, there's really nothing we
Forget
can do to help
it. Yeah, they got 58 points, so that's just not going to happen.
And then the Kings. Crown the Kings. Let's crown the Kings.
That's even tough, too. They're 7 points behind the Sabres.
The Rangers, too. The Rangers, by the way, haven't won in forever.
Well, they need to change that.
Because it's looked like the Rangers are about to pass the Sabres for 2 weeks now, and the Sabres have lost almost every game, and the Rangers are still sitting right there.
It's funny, you look at the standings and you talk about teams that were really bad earlier this season. Remember how bad Chicago was? They fired Joel Quenneville. They're 5 points ahead of the Sabres. Remember Anaheim? Sabres beat Anaheim, twice this year, right?
Anaheim is one of their back-to-back wins.
They fired their coach, and they weren't playing well. They're ahead of the Sabres by a point. Like, the teams that were having miserable seasons, and some of them fired their coaches, are ahead of the Sabres in the standings.
Yeah.
That's how bad things have gone around here.
Did St. Louis fire their coach along the way?
Yeah, didn't they?
They were in last place, and now St. Louis is in a third seed of the Central.
So, Mike Yeo, who was fired?
Yeah.
Yes.
Was that this season?
Mike Yeo,
right. Okay.
Craig Berube took over.
It's hard to keep track of the Blues and how many times Mike Yeo has been there and coaching. And right? Hasn't he been there coaching 4 times?
He was their associate head coach under Ken Hitchcock. Then Hitchcock got fired. Then Yeo became the head coach and so on and so forth. Mm.
So, yes. So, anyway, whatever. They played well and they got 46 shots. But the one goal, the only goal they got, by the way, was a fluke.
Right, center
So
ice.
They got a lot of shots. They had a lot of chances. Still can't figure out how Jeff Skinner has only one goal in the last 18 games.
Last night he had a bunch of chances.
He did again. I mean, he had 6 shots last night.
I can't believe Eichel didn't score twice last night. Eichel was had incredible chances.
Yeah. So they were generating. They were getting it was the most shots in a game for them since February 1st, and the fewest shots allowed since January. So the numbers, were good from that standpoint, but. They couldn't beat Corey Schneider, who's really not having a very good season. So
right,
they
couldn't
finish anything.
Terrible team.
Yeah.
In the Devils, who are, I guess, better than you now. But what do you even say? What do you even do?
I mean, it's not like the games matter. It's just what are they doing? And let's face it, we're counting down the clock for 2 more weeks till the season-ending news conference when the GM speaks to figure out what he's going to say.
Yeah, I'm nervous about that.
Are you?
Yeah, because remember, I booked a vacation. Hold
Ooh,
on.
Good. Big things happen when you go on vacation.
Here's your unintentional comedy. Don't forget, I booked my vacation, little weekend getaway, right before the playoffs begin to make sure I'd be back for the playoffs. I'm going to get back on that Monday. Playoffs begin on Tuesday. The Sabres are going to be in the playoffs. I got to be back. So quick little trip back. Now they're not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So my quick little trip's going to happen, and I might miss the season-ending press conference.
Are you back? You're not here Monday the 8th?
I think I'm on Tuesday.
You're back for the draft lottery.
I'm back
Tuesday
for the lottery.
Night, the lotteries.
But
am I
not here for Jason Bottrell at a podium talking about whether or not Phil Housley is their coach?
Does he do one?
Talking about Jeff Skinner, talking about negotiations. You know, like there are big decisions to make going forward. The two biggest ones are Housley and Skinner.
Does he not have a season-ending news conference because they need to sit down with ownership and figure out what exactly they're doing?
That's possible. What happened? The Bielsma one, right? When did Bielsma get fired? How many days after the season?
Oh, that was like April 20th that happened.
It was like two or three weeks after the season.
I didn't know it was that long.
April 20th. And their last game would have been not April 20th.
Yeah. No,
April 7th,
like
8th, somewhere in there?
April 7th or 8th, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me double check that.
Yeah, because there was going to be a meeting, and we were all wondering what would happen. And That's actually the first time I came to know my super secret Sabre source was he said it feels people are saying it's a day of reckoning around here.
Yeah.
And then boom, those two got fired. So
hope you get a text from your super secret Sabre source that says the Pegulas are on the warpath.
Well,
and they're ready to do some changing here. I wonder if there is a season-ending news conference because when's the last game? April 6th, a Saturday. So I don't know if they'd clean out the lockers the very next day or give them till Monday. And typically, right, Bottrell would meet with the media. They get their lockers cleaned out. They do their exit interviews, right? Get all that stuff out of the way. So hey, the GM's going to be made available.
That'll be Sunday.
Sunday the 7th, Monday the 8th.
Because they play on Saturday as their final game.
Well, I wonder if they would do that or just give the guys like Sunday the day off and then just come in and clean everything out on Monday. I don't know. But I wonder, if does Bottrell do that or do they decide, if they're not sure what they're doing about their coach, he's going to want to sit down and talk to ownership? Are those conversations going on already? They should be.
It would be amazing.
He should be talking to ownership right now about what they're doing. No, and I'm not trying to be a jerk. We're talking about it. They should be talking about it. Like, I'm wondering if he's going to hold a news conference at the end of the season because they may not want to announce anything right away.
Right.
I don't know.
And just let the season kind of fade away.
Yeah.
Yesterday I was listening to the afternoon show, and Mike was talking about how when you talk about the Sabres, you get the feeling that there are a lot of people that just have tuned out and don't want to talk about it, and I totally understand that. I feel the opposite, which is sometimes when I really get in a mood about the Sabres and what has happened to them in the last 2-3 years, I think about, I want to talk about it until something happens. I want to be the guy that lives on a billboard, that's just when your frustration gets to such a level where you can't even... You know, you can't even see straight about this team sometimes because it's so terrible that even in a season like this, that we've had to, as you know, fans or people that watch them have had to go through such a stunning collapse. Like this season redefines collapses.
Yeah,
there's only one other team, by the way, that had as many points as they did after 25 games, as many as they did or more, and missed the playoffs. One, and that's Montreal a couple years ago. Montreal got up to a great start, and then Carey Price got hurt.
Oh yeah,
and then they missed the playoffs.
Sure,
that's the only other team. Now the Flyers did win 10 in a row and missed the playoffs, but no other team has had as many points as the Sabres after 25 games and missed the playoffs. Most of those teams go on to have 100 points because, well, you're generally good if you have that many points. So they will end up being they don't have any significant injuries, and they haven't the whole year. Hmm. Most significant injury was
Jake McCabe, maybe.
Okay. I mean, seriously, Eichel got suspended for 2 games.
Yeah. Skinner's played. Reinhardt's played.
They've had no significant injuries.
Jerry's played.
Darlene hasn't missed a game.
Mm-hmm. Risto.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've been healthy and gone from where you were to missing the playoffs. The only other team lost the MVP, arguably, in Carey Price at that time.
I think one of the sad part of all of this, actually there are a lot of sad parts to this, but maybe the saddest part to all of this is just we're at the end of another season and we're going to have another discussion about, you know, we've talked already about how do you sell it? If you're bringing the coach back, how do you sell that to your fans? And we're approaching the end of another Sabre season where you just talked about it, where fans just feel they're not engaged. They're not invested. They were a few months ago, then the life was collectively sucked out of them. And how many times have we hit the end of a hockey season talking about, boy, how do the Sabres get the fans back energized again? It seems like that's a regular occurrence every single year. What was it? Last year, it was winning the lottery. I mean, I was fired up the night they won the lottery. That got me back in. You know, the tank was, hey, they clinched a top two pick. They're getting McDavid or Eichel. We always have this discussion of how, you know, you're losing your fans or your fans are, you know, how do you get them to care again, to be emotionally invested, to get all that energy back into rooting for this team? Because over the course of every season, whether it's November or February or whenever, they play bad, so bad that you just wonder, when are they going to start winning again? And that's among the distressing things. Even if you didn't have to sit there in November and think, guys, we're a cup contender. You just had to think, hey, I think we're getting better. That's all. That wasn't really asking for a lot. It was all I was asking for at the time was, hey, maybe, you know what? I think this means they're at least in the playoff race. I don't even know if I said... Maybe I did. You know, I get giddy when teams around here win. I'm not even sure if I got to the point where I came on the air with you and said, book it, they're in the playoffs.
Well, mathematically.
At the very least, it would have been, you know what, Jeremy? we're going to be sitting here talking about a playoff race right up until the end of the season.
They definitely should have been in the playoff race just because of the math of it. They've
right,
just been
500 hockey. Yeah,
they've been
we were
just
for.
So bad.
So that's, I mean, that's to me when you're if you're the Pegulas and you're going to sit down, you're going to talk to Jason Botrel, and I'm, you know, if they are having a discussion about the coach, they're going to end up bringing the whole idea of you can't just keep firing coaches. Well, I thought about this last night, laying in bed once again, not being able to get to sleep. Why not? Where is it written that you can't fire coaches? You know, sure, you don't want to fire a guy every year, every 2 years, because it does. I know it's not a good look, but
I think it's
what's
a fine,
the point if you think if it's not it's working?
I don't even think it's a bad look.
Make a change. What's the point? Who cares?
Which team in the NHL right now looks bad because they've fired coaches too soon?
Actually, a few of them that fired coaches are playing better. St. Louis turned their season around.
Right.
You know, so.
I mean, I just don't buy that it's a bad look. That's what I mean. If like yeah. When you say that or when anybody says that, I understand what you are ultimately saying, especially because the football team has gone through some changes too, right? Marone to Rex McDermott. But I think the football coach is going to be here for a long time. So you can kind of put that aside.
Well,
and
there
say,
are fans who actually believe in the football coach. I would like say they're buying into what he has been preaching.
Not just that, but the owners, I think, most definitely do, which is, you know, they're the ones that are in charge.
And with hockey, it's the opposite. You know, you want to believe. In November, you thought, okay, look, okay, I get right. This is Housley's style. Look, they're playing north-south hockey. They're attacking. They're going up ice. Hey, the defensemen are scoring goals. This is what he wants these guys to do, and they weren't able to do it last season. So, hey, this is all good. We're going in the right direction. Sure, we're getting bounces. We're getting breaks. We're winning overtime games and shootouts and coming from behind in the third. It's not sustainable. But, hey, they're exciting. It's fun. And I think they're headed in the right direction. And then kablooey. And to me, that's, again, this is always where we're at the end of a hockey season. What can they do to get you feeling good about this team, to get you excited? You know, the roster, they've been bringing in young talent. Eichel, Dahlin, just to name a couple. They make the trade for Skinner, and he has a 37-goal season.
Eichel and Dahlin are slam dunks. I mean, they're borderline gifts.
No, but I'm just saying.
To say bringing in young talent.
There are players that you get excited about that are young, and you say, these guys are talented. So you're bringing those guys in, and yet we're still sitting here in the same boat that we are every March, every April, wondering about the roster, and it's not good enough, and what's the GM going to do about it, and whether or not the coach can coach. Housley, Bylsma, you know, name a guy, whether or not the GM has picked the right coach, and whether or not the coach, is it the coach not getting enough out of the roster? Is it the roster's not good enough for the coach? Yada, 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 yada. And we have the same discussion all the time. And again, as I said, what happens this offseason to get you excited about 1920? Not the year, the 2019-2020 season.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say,
Not 1920, yeah, the roaring 20s. Forget it, Flappers, I was going to say, but that's a different era.
How many goals would Alex Nylander have if he played up here the whole season?
Is he playing on Eichel's line most
sure,
of the time?
Sure, put him on Eichel's line.
I don't know, 15?
Because here's your question. If it was about growth and it was never about winning, then you wouldn't worry about him being there, about wins and losses. You'd want him to learn how to play with Jack Eichel and try and score goals. And, yeah, maybe he has 15 goals.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, yeah. I would think at least 10, maybe 15.
Maybe not. Maybe he's got to learn things, you know, the right way. But, I mean, a growth season where you're just bringing up the kids, you can have those. And they don't really have that many of them.
Well, that's why it's weird. Like, Thompson was here all year. Okay, there's a kid that's getting playing time, and occasionally he would be scratched. But all right, they're he's struggling, but they're sticking with him to let him get playing time. That's why Mittelstadt, you could have just kept playing Mittelstadt. Well, you're 7 games from the end of the season. Right. Why would you scratch him now? If you thought his game was struggling, you let him play through game 74, and then you decide, let's sit him for a night.
We're going to have Housley today at 7:30. One of the questions will be about Mittelstadt, because he has talked about being results-based, and last week Botrel told Mike and Chris that it's not always win and loss. Sometimes it's if you have a good effort, suggesting that a lineup will be kept the same if you have a good effort. Well, they had a good effort last night.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So does that mean Casey Mittelstadt sits again? Because, sorry, Casey, but
right.
We had a good effort.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right, 803-0550 to join us. Sabre fans, want to hear from you this morning. You can share your thoughts in our discussion, 888-550-2550. We'll talk some hockey this morning. Paul's going to join us at 7:30 from Ottawa. Phil Housley will be with us from Ottawa at 8:30 because the Sabres are playing tonight against the Senators. We'll talk some football news, NFL owners' meetings going on. They're still kicking around rules changes. Sounds like, just based on what coaches are talking about, they might not make any changes at all in light of the discussion about replay and challenges and pass interference. EJ Gaines is back with the Bills. We've got the Thursday night opener. We know half of the Sunday night opener. So we'll get to some football news as well. 803-0550 for you to join us this morning on WGR.
Recovered by the Devils and flipped ahead. On to center ice. Reinhardt steals it back and takes it. Score! Reinhardt scored from center ice. He stole the puck away, let the shot go, and it beat Schneider.
That is the Sabres' lone goal. Actually, they scored another goal, but it was wiped out on goalie interference challenge.
Did you think it was interference?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I didn't think it was bad enough at all.
I thought... I mean, he's in the paint.
He's there, but...
And I thought Green kind of backed into him a little bit, and I thought, honestly, that Schneider, he goes down to make the save.
Yep.
He's not... Rodriguez was not sitting on him. He's not... I don't think he was why Schneider couldn't get up and get to his right for the rebound.
Yeah, I thought Schneider, the reason he couldn't get to his right is because he leaned out into Rodriguez, almost like taking a charge.
Maybe
he sells it.
You know, maybe it's like a flop. Right, yeah. It's like a guy flopping to draw the foul.
If there's somebody here, maybe I can try to make the save, but also... You know, create some contact.
Yeah, which he did, and it worked out for the Devils because they challenged it, and that was wiped out. So that fluky center ice goal that you heard from Rick there was the lone goal of the game for the Sabres. The moment of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
Corey Schneider 2-0 against the Sabres this year, 0-2 against the Amerks this year. Toronto beats Florida 7-5. Tavares, 4 goals. Tampa, 5-4 over Boston. They have 59 wins. The record is 62. Now, the record is 62 without shootout and overtime wins. That's back when they were tied.
Yeah, it was. So, yeah, let's see. That Montreal would have done it. Red Wings would have done it.
I think it was the Red Wings 59
95, wins. 95-96.
Yep. Yeah. So they could pass the number of wins, but, I mean, it's not quite the same. Nashville beats Minnesota, and the Predators clinch a playoff spot. The NFL, nice signing by the Bills. Bring back EJ Gaines. Like that. He was good for them 2 years ago. Had a little trouble staying in
the
lineup.
That's the issue we only had. He's a good player. He was in, frustrating because he couldn't finish games.
He was in Cleveland last year and late in the season got a concussion and was put on IR. Says he's doing fine. He was on with the guys at One Bills Live. Thursday night opener will be Green Bay at Chicago. The NFL kicking off its 100th season. The Patriots will be on Sunday night in the finale. I'm sorry, week one Sunday night primetime game. You want the Bills there or no?
No. Oh, God, no.
Get it out of the way.
No. No, because I want to enjoy the game. I want.
You know what? That's a Twitter poll.
No, heck no.
If they're going to open on the road, do you want that game or something else?
No, because Sunday night Patriots, I need. Well, I'd vote for Cleveland. I heard Mike and Chris were talking about this yesterday. You've got there are three division games. Did you finish headlines? I don't want to cut you off.
Pretty much.
Okay. You've got the three division games. Then you've got Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Dallas, and the Giants. So my two choices would be either the Browns or the Chiefs in the Sunday night opener against New England. Kansas City would be a very entertaining game, probably a high-scoring game. The last two have been between them. The Browns are everybody's hot team. Baker Mayfield, opening night, Tom Brady. I would take the Browns. That would be my first choice. My second choice would be the Chiefs. I do not want the Bills opening up. The night they like put up another Super Bowl sign, banner, whatever the heck they're going to do in Foxborough that night. No, no. Sunday, it wasn't 56-10. Or was it? The McKelvin game, was that a Monday night game or a Sunday night game?
Monday night.
Okay, so the last Sunday night Bills matchup, was it 56-10 here?
Yeah. 07,
whenever, 08, whenever the heck it would
have
been.
Yeah, they got flexed into Sunday night.
Yeah.
And lost 56-10.
All right, so you know what? It wouldn't be as bad.
So you can vote in the Twitter poll. If the Bills are going to open on the road, would you want it to be in the Sunday Night Football opener? Hold on, I got to redo that and say against New England because that's who's going to be in that game.
Right.
Here's a quick text I want to read to you and ask you if you remember this. Michael writes in, remembering how furious Bottrell was at the season-ending press conference last year. I'm wondering what state he will be in this season. In my book, This season is an even bigger failure. What do you expect realistically? I don't
remember being furious.
Yeah. I'll take your word for it, but I don't remember it.
Was that a text?
Tweet.
Tweet. All right. The person who tweeted, tweet us back. I honestly, was there something he said? Did he raise his voice? Was he curt with the media? I don't recall him being angry.
He sometimes wears a little bit of his frustration.
The Botchel angry moment was what? The Kings, whatever game it was, when he slams the door in the press box.
There's
Kings
that
game, maybe?
But I mean, I even think in interviews you can tell when he's frustrated.
Sure, he can be short with some of his answers with Mike and Chris when he's on a game day. But I don't remember, again, that's entirely possible to happen because I'm trying to remember what yesterday was. I don't remember him being that angry at the press conference. What was the other part of the tweet was, this is more embarrassing. Was it something else? This is more embarrassing than last season?
He said, in my book, this season is an even bigger failure than last year.
Yeah, I would agree. And last year was a big failure. But I would agree.
Yeah, that's a steel cage match. What's the bigger failure, this year or last year? Last year,
I just found my new Twitter poll for today. Yeah. Since you did,
but
the
I just
Patriots
did a Twitter
thing.
Poll.
I haven't done a Twitter poll in a while.
Dueling
all right,
polls.
So remind me to use this tomorrow.
Yeah, if you lose to Ottawa, you can just go for that.
Well, I've got a feeling they'll lose another game or two. I think you added Skinner, you added Dahlin.
Yep, that's
and you still are sitting here
as one of the worst teams in the league,
out of the race, and one of the worst teams, like one of the worst teams in the
after
league
after being given a head start
for the last 3.5, almost 4 months, they haven't won back-to-back games since mid-December. I mean, come on.
I mean,
they've lost 12 straight road games. They've lost 16 of 19 overall. To me, as bad as last season was, I think this is far worse.
You could say they've won back-to-back since December. They have one win in their last 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and three in their last 19.
They had a very sneaky 8-game, 7-game losing streak and then won a game in a shootout and in a game in which they blew a 3-1 lead. So anyway, you can vote in our Twitter polls. And you can call us at 803-0550.
Yeah, and that's why I think and look, part of it, like it's different from this standpoint to the person who tweeted you about whether, you know, if you feel this season is worse than last season. And by the way, this is why I need to drink more, because we're having this discussion. But if you it's different. Last season was over like that. I mean, by the end of October, that thing was toast. You might have felt it was over by like the third game of the season. Things got so bad so fast. They looked so disorganized. It was just a train wreck.
And they just didn't do anything to change it.
Absolutely. So you knew.
During the season, I'm saying.
In October, right. In October, you felt, well, this season's shot. This season's different. Again, it doesn't mean you thought in November they were contending for a cup because they were the best team or tied for the most points. I'm just talking about feeling better, like feeling that they've got the right GM. Like, hey, this is what I think they might have the right coach. Hey, the roster is better. Look, they're playing better. They're entertaining. They're fun. They're scoring goals. Look at this is great. What a fun stretch. Look at Skinner. What a great trade. All that stuff happened in this season. And that's why I said, I think this is worse than last year. Last year's was season's underway. Boom, season's over. This season was different. You're sitting there at Thanksgiving thinking, worst case scenario, we're in the hunt to the end of the year. Worst case scenario, if not in a playoff spot. And it all falls apart and on numerous fronts. So yes, as bad as last year was, this is worse. And that's what ownership has to take into account.
Are we at 14 wins in 50 games?
14 wins in 50 games.
14 wins in 50 games.
Since the 10-game win streak ended in Tampa.
That is.
I mean, that trumps last year. I'm sorry. And again, and you've had another offseason where the GM was able to tweak the roster. And, you know, he did make a trade at the deadline. You know, he brought in Brandon Montour. So they tweaked the coaching staff in the offseason. So they've done a few. They redid the goaltending situation. They cleaned out the bad eggs in the room, so to speak, right? They got rid of, they tried to, you know, fix the culture in the room. All this stuff they addressed in the offseason. And yet we're sitting here talking about losses in 10 of 11, losses in 16 of 19, second or third worst record, whatever it is, since the end of November in the National Hockey League. And we're sitting here talking about, you know, can they win the draft lottery? So, yeah, that's I'd say that's worse than last year. Yeah. So I'd agree with your the tweet you got. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. It is Tuesday. You know what? You can do something good today. You can help find a new home for a pet that needs a new home. Our furry fan of the week. We always invite you to check it out at WGR550.com. And the reason why we talk about our furry fan of the week is so Brayton can play this really cool music. So if you go to our website and you scroll down to the bottom right of our homepage, you will find a link for the furry fan of the week. Now we have a special pet each week. Got a little bio there. You can see a picture and read up about the pet. But we have a link to all of the pets that are looking for new homes. And we also have a link to the SPCA's website of Erie County. You can help them out with a donation as well. So give a new home to a pet by checking out our furry fan of the week at WGR550.com. It is brought to you by DeLacy Ford, first for Ford, first for pets.
How many teams have a franchise centerman as good as Eichel, and as good as Eichel can be, as Nick said, he's starting and still a kid? And how many teams have a Dahlin? So you got very few have a franchise defenseman and a franchise centerman. I mean franchise, not impact.
Yeah.
All kinds of teams have impact defense and impact force, but franchise, potential franchise guys, not many have it.
Doug McLean from Sportsnet in Ontario. We are talking Sabres. Another loss last night. New Jersey Devils.
Trade them both for grit.
Trade Eichel.
Both of them.
For some toughness.
Package deal.
Remember, no one would want him.
Yeah, true. What could you get for him? I mean, he's damaged goods. You know, he's been beaten down by all the losing. Nobody would trade for him.
Did I bring this up on the show? I think somebody said it to me on Friday before the UB game. I had a listener tweet a hypothetical would you take scenario. And it was, I don't think I brought it up on the show. Would you take, if UB wins the title, UB wins the national championship, but the other two teams never win a title, would you take that?
Bills and Sabres never win
never
a title.
Never win. UB win. I didn't bring it up then on the show, right?
No.
Okay. Yeah, my answer was,
no, I don't think I would.
A million no's.
Yeah, I need one of the teams here to win. I need a Lombardi Trophy or a Stanley Cup. It has to happen in my lifetime. It has to happen in your lifetime. It has to happen in everybody's lifetime, and you'll have it forever. No, I need no offense, UB. I'm really sorry. I need
have
the Bills or Sabres.
Have you thought about cryostasis and freezing yourself?
Is this Ted Williams?
Yeah.
Chop my head off and put it in some place in Arizona?
Things haven't been going well. I will wake you up.
What year?
I don't know. I might have to be
a ballpark figure.
I might also have to be frozen in carbonite as well.
Yeah.
And then Brayton will have to unlock both of us and be like, wake us up. Like, guys, it's game 5. They're up 3-1 in the Stanley Cup final. Oh, all right.
Okay.
What year is it?
But then he'll wake us up.
Darlene's the head coach.
Four defensemen will get injured. Another guy will have a staph infection, and they'll blow the lead.
I'll probably be dead by then anyway, so you guys will be screwed.
It's a cheerful discussion.
Darlene's the head coach, and GM
and his son.
GM Tage Thompson has put together a hell of a team.
Darlene's son is the number one defenseman,
right.
Maybe his grandson. Who knows how long this will take.
Jack Eichel owns the team.
There you go. That's fine. Yeah, right. He bought out the Pegulas, or maybe they're just a minority partner with Jack running as the majority managing partner. Yeah, that'll be great. Bring me back for that. I don't know how many years I got left. Somebody's got to win.
You'd take a playoff round.
I just want one championship.
You're about to hit an 8-year drought in the NHL playoffs. And the last time they made it, by the way, they were awful to start the season.
Got to tell you, I think the NFL, what's harder to believe? I think the Bills.
Yes.
Because 17. It shouldn't be that hard. It's that long, and it shouldn't be that hard 1 year to get a wild card spot.
Well, the one thing that worked against the Bills for the entirety of the 17 years, or almost the entirety, was the divisional alignment.
You're playing for two wild card spots.
And you have to go 10-4 because you're just not beating them. So that definitely factored in.
Right.
But yeah, it's a tough one.
And the Sabres have now, and the nice thing about the Sabres playoff drought is it extends over two different playoff formats.
Yeah.
Now that'd be pretty funny if they changed it to another playoff format and they
They make it before the format gets changed?
What do we got? Two more years left in this thing?
Maybe.
Maybe. I forget. Actually, what was it? It was a Was it a 5-year? No, maybe.
I mean, they can change it whenever they want.
Yeah. Well, they make it before the format is changed. I suppose I'd have to vote no. I'm not really in an optimistic place with the Sabres these days. So I'm going to vote no at this point. 803-0550 to join us. I stole Jeremy's Twitter poll for our topic today. The Sabres will finish with more points than they already have, more points than they had last season. And yet we're asking, I'm curious if you think this season is actually worse than last season. Chris tweeted in, this season was a huge letdown because of the streak, and the GM didn't try to right the ship, and it was proven Phil can't coach. Carly tweeted in, yes, because the 10-game win streak gave me false hope that we were actually going to be good and make the playoffs. Next tweet from Pasta Joe. Yes, Botts put his stamp on the team with multiple moves, supposedly give Housley a better roster, which appeared to be playoff contenders. Housley has been able to get the team to the next level. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-552-550. The Sabres are in Ottawa tonight. Big matchup against the Senators as the battle for the bottom part of the league continues. In fact, you know what? Let's do this real fast before we go to break. I will get you the standings, the league standings, the reverse standings, if you will. So the Sabres, again, losing last night. They are now 26th. They're even with the Rangers, 71 points. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. They are sixth worst in the NHL. Could drop behind the Rangers, could still drop behind New Jersey, maybe even Detroit, who they will play Thursday night. But they have the sixth worst record right now in the National Hockey League. Ottawa, LA, Detroit, New Jersey, the Rangers, Buffalo are your bottom six in the NHL. That update of the NHL standings brought to you by Arthur Pressman, Western New York's traffic and DWI attorney, your ticket to justice.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.